Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other and so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our eyes, O God, that we may hear your word and that word will influence our lives. Open our lips that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I greet you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Our theme this Lent is reconciliation. And on the first Sunday, we looked at what is reconciliation, the mending of broken relationships. And we talked about the fact that in order to begin the process of reconciliation, we need humility, we need love, and we need grace. Characteristics that can only come to us from the Holy Spirit. And then last Sunday we talked about reconciliation in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, they commemorated a day of atonement where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would first purify himself because he was also sinful, and then he would make sacrifices on behalf of the people. Because it was animal sacrifice, it had to be repeated year after year. Today we go on to God's great act of reconciliation. God's great act of reconciliation. In John chapter 1, verse 29, we read, "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist, because he was called to prepare the way for Jesus, had the insight from God that he was able to identify Jesus. He identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb from God, and the Lamb who was God, who would make the sacrifice for the sins of the world. For one of the most important animals in the sacrifice of Israel was a lamb without blemish. In the Old Testament, we had an imperfect priest offering the blood of bulls and goats, which really could not take away sin. It was God who forgave the sins of Israel when they went through this ritual of sacrifice. But because it was animal sacrifice, it had to be repeated year after year. Whenever Israel wanted to be reconciled with God, they had to go through the process of sacrificing these animals. So what was required? What was required was someone, as the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 7, verse 26, was a high priest who was holy and blameless, undefiled, and separated from sinners. You see, what was needed was someone who was perfect, whose life was of value and significance, who could offer himself once and for all as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And only the Son of God could meet those requirements. Only Christ, the Anointed One, the Lamb of God, could be human and fully human as you and I, who could be tempted but yet was without sin. Only Jesus, the Lamb of God, could make that one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, says to us, "And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who were sanctified." Once more, God took the initiative to forgive the sins of humankind and to be reconciled with God's people. But it is important for us to note that even as Jesus prepared himself to make that ultimate sacrifice on the cross, he instituted the means by which we would commemorate the sacrifice. We need to always remember that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross does not have to be repeated. In fact, it cannot be repeated. It is a sacrifice once and for all. But of course, as God's people, we are called to remind ourselves of the sacrifice and to commemorate it as often as we can. And so in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, beginning from verse 26, Matthew tells us how this sacrifice is to be commemorated in the words as follows. "While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, we do this to remind ourselves of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to reconcile us with God. We carry out the tradition of the sacrifices of old. They would eat the meat of the animal. They would sprinkle the blood on themselves as a sign of their true repentance. We have the privilege, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to eat his body and to drink his blood. Jesus, you see, wanted to help us to understand the nature of his sacrifice and the need for the sacrifice, because in order to be faithful to him, we need to be strengthened by spiritual food and feeding on his body and blood strengthens our spirit, empowers us to go and do the work that we have to do for God, empowers us to resist the temptations that we face day by day in the world. His body and blood empowers us and enables us to be faithful disciples of Christ in today's world. And so we are reminded in the Eucharistic prayer, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. We celebrate God's great act of reconciliation. God providing the lamb, his son, for the sacrifice. But we also need to bear in mind that the death of Christ on the cross was not only for the forgiveness of sins. In Eucharistic prayer E, we are reminded by his death on the cross, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he overcame sin and death. He overcame sin and death. For after Good Friday, there was Easter. After the crucifixion, there was the resurrection. And so Christ not only made that one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice on the cross, by his death, he gave us victory over death. By his resurrection, he demonstrated that God indeed had power over death, and God was prepared to offer God's people the gift of eternal life. Another thing we need to note about all of this is that God's timing is always perfect. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians chapter 4, reminds us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Jesus was put to death on the cross at the same time that the Jews were celebrating the feast of the Passover. And there is a connection between the two events. The feast of the Passover was to commemorate the liberation of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The death of Christ on the cross at the time of the Passover was to commemorate God's power over death. For in Exodus chapter 12, we are reminded of the fact that the children of Israel were called to sacrifice the lamb of the Passover. They were to take the blood of that lamb, put it in a basin, take a bunch of hyssop, and dip the blood from the basin and smear it on the beams of their houses and on the doorposts. So right along the door, at the top of the door on the two sides, they were to smear the blood. And what was said to them by God is that when the angel of death passed and saw the blood on the posts, the angel of death would pass over the houses of the Israelites. For the angel of death would come to kill the firstborn in every Egyptian household. So the sacrifice of the Passover lamb saved the children of Israel from the angel of death. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross saved the world from eternal death. And so the two events coincide because they're both about God giving God's people victory over death. They're both about God saving God's people from death. In this case, eternal death. And so, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He made that one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for all sin, past, present, and future. And God raised him from the dead to demonstrate God's power over death, to help us to understand that if we remain faithful to the Lamb of God, we too will overcome death. And so God's great act of reconciliation is giving God's Son to die that we might be reconciled with God. We receive forgiveness of our sins, and God brings us back into a right relationship with God. So what is required of us after Jesus has done this great act for us? When we commemorate his sacrifice in the celebration of the Eucharist, we are invited to be reconciled with God, having confessed our sins, and to also to be reconciled with each other, so that we can come to this celebration and offer ourselves, as we say in Eucharistic prayer C, offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice. We hardly ever consider ourselves as being sacrifices. But as we commemorate this great act of reconciliation, God is inviting us to offer ourselves to him. And we acknowledge, and although we are unworthy to offer any sacrifice, we pray, we beseech you to accept this, that is, our presence, ourselves, our souls and bodies, our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. If God weighed our merits, we will not be able to come and receive the body and blood of Christ. We come because of God's love. We come because of God's mercy and forgiveness. And unworthy as we are, we offer ourselves to God so that God is able to use us as instruments of God's peace, as instruments of God's love, and as instruments of God's reconciliation in the world. God acted on our behalf. Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, has reconciled us to God. Our sins are forgiven as long as we are truly penitent, and God brings us back into that father-child relationship once more. And the hymn writer sums it up by saying, "O love, how deep, how broad, how high." St. Paul reminds us that we cannot fathom the height or depth or width or breadth of the love of God, a God who would give his only Son to give us the gift of eternal life. The Lord be with you.